and welcome to the Volunteer Firefighter Podcast. I am here with two fire friends. I have Ash.
Oh, hey there.
We've got Scott.
Good evening.
So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about one of the fire calls you guys had there the other week after my training event as well. And then we got some information on the sauna and cold plunge we're doing. And it's got a lot of good health benefits, which we'll get into and talk about. So who wants to take it as far as the kind of touch base on the training event you guys had and then the typical fire call?
Yeah, I probably took the training event, I guess the combo training fire event. So we always kind of joke that every time we do a big scenario, we get the fire call shortly thereafter, or at some point that year we'll get the same call. So this case was we were actually talking about this last time we were on the podcast before I think we got interrupted, didn't we? Didn't have a call. So we were talking about how we did a scenario at the arena. We based it on kind of that standard call out. Guys think it's going to be an ammonia call, ends up being an actual fire alarm. We clear the ice of patrons, and then we did a search, and we actually had the smoke machine go on and all that kind of stuff. So I was duty officer last week or a bit ago. Nighttime call, get the page. And the page, and it always comes in this combo alarm, so it comes in as an ammonia/fire alarm. And for those of you that aren't Canadian, I guess, or don't have a major an arena in your city, because pretty much every Canadian town has an arena, I think. Like every kind of medium-sized Canadian town, I'm guessing, has an arena.
Oh, if you're a good Canadian town for some hockey, you got to have some. Right. A little shinny, right?
So the way to make ice is through ammonia. That's how they actually make ice. We don't just open the doors and get cold, because we're not that cold in Canada. So they need an ammonia plant. Ammonia makes the water cold. There's brine and all that. I don't know, it's a system. Science. I am not involved. But part of that, obviously, we have an ammonia plant, so hazmat. We train for dealing with that. We have like flags up at the arena. We have muster points, evacuations, shelter in place, that kind of stuff. So call comes in, I'm duty officer, I go down to our staging area, which is in the parking lot, but a ways away. And it's kind of on the opposite side of where the ammonia plant is. So it gives us a little bit of protection for a short time for us to figure out which way the wind's blowing. I was actually thinking the other day, we should have another telltale on the side where we muster, because the telltale flag is on the backside. And I can't really see. There is a couple flags in the parking lot that I try to mark off of, or I'll throw some grass in the air or whatever. To give me the wind, the old sniper.
The golf move.
Yeah. I went with sniper, not golf.
Have you ever golfed?
Once.
I cannot see Scott. Can you picture Scott is retiring, swimming in a golf club with his like checkered socks?
Yes.
Maybe blowing up groundhogs.
Anyways. So I get there, and it's kind of funny because one of the captains, Rob, he's driving in, and he comes over the radio. Parking lot's empty. I'm like, sweet. Because it's like 11? When I call him, 10:30, 11?
Yeah, it's getting pretty late.
So parking lot's empty. Where the arena is, I pull in, and I hear, I'm like, what is that? I'm like, there's a party going on. So attached to our compound of the arena is there's a curling rink. The curling rinks is, for those that aren't Canadian, this isn't called curling. We use rocks. We throw rocks across ice. It's a ridiculous sport. But anyways, they have curling clubs. That's where there was a Christmas party, actually, for the hospital staff going on. So, and it's probably within 1,500 feet of the ammonia plant. So they're on the back side of the arena. So I'm like, yes, this is bad. If it was an ammonia leak. So I radio the chief because he's rolling in. I said, hey, there's a party going on. Maybe go park over there. If we have to evacuate, be ready. He's like, okay. So drives over there. Luckily, it was hospital people, because I think if we did have to evacuate, which we didn't, they would probably actually listen to us and probably leave fairly quickly. It wouldn't be like the regular, just drunken redneck crowd. Well, maybe there.
Well,
right. Dealing with drunken nurses.
Yeah. I'll be okay. As your lungs liquefy.
They might be throwing themselves at you guys. Fireman.
Okay. Anyway.
The story's going to go somewhere eventually. So now I'm kind of slowly adjusting my angle to try to, because I basically where I was stationed was not going to be the best anyways, because these people are going to be close to the ammonia plant. So I'm trying to see if I can get an angle on if I can see ammonia leaking, if I can even catch a whiff, because obviously ammonia is pretty potent. And then the arena guy, the property rep, who's the arena manager or one of the guys, the tech guy, he comes ripping in and parks close to the arena. I'm like, okay, well, he's the expert, so he's obviously not too concerned. And so I come up to him, like, hey, do you want to wait for the truck to come and throw SCBA on? And he goes, he's kind of sitting there. He's like, no, the plant's still running. And if it was a real bad leak, the plant would have shut down. And he goes, also, the vent stack would have blown and there'd be, we would smell it already, just because it's so potent. So we kind of, he said, well, what we can do is we can make a safe approach. So we kind of leapfrogged in. He went to the door. Just popped the door slightly, cracked it, and then kind of sniffed the air a little bit and was like, okay, I don't smell anything, all good. So then he popped up to the next door, and then I went to that door where we were just at, and he basically did the same thing until we got into the arena, until we got to the alarm, which is right next to the ammonia plant. And he's like, oh, no, this isn't ammonia. This is a fire alarm. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And right away, as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, it's just kind of like a scenario the other day. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that I'm like, oh, this is like that scenario we did a week and a half ago. So we push in now and we go to the actual fire panel. He's like, it's saying it's coming from the kitchen. So by this time, the engine's pulling in and we go to the kitchen, we open the door, and it is we're going to talk about a sauna later. It was worse than a sauna. It was friggin' hot in there. Almost to the point where we're like, oh, maybe get that gear in here. But he kind of went in. The burners on the stove were running full blast. So the, his kitchen for session stand kitchen, running full bore, super hot in there. All the chocolate bars, everything melted on the upper levels of the room. So it was going for a long time. Luckily, it's all cement in there, and it would take a bit probably for something to get going. But if it got going and established in that building, because the building's from the 50s, 60s. It's pretty old. A lot of wood. The wood go up fast. But our guys arrived. They did a quick sweep of the building. We vented the room. And then we're like, man, this is every time with us. We do a scenario. And one or two weeks later, we get that thing. That thing that we get the same scenario or something very close to it. And it almost matched identical, except we didn't have a patient. And there was no real fire. So it's weird. So we got back to the hall here. We had we always do kind of a little debrief. It's not really an official debrief. We kind of sit and talk about things where we fill our paperwork. And so I said to them, I said, well, we're going to make a Brinks truck, accident, scenario where a Brinks truck rolls over with millions of dollars on board. We've rescued the drivers and then the bank is so happy with us that they give us the money. And that's what the scenario is going to be. And hopefully it'll come true. A Christmas miracle.
There you go. did you guys? I'm curious. Did you guys test for CO or anything in there? Was it any levels after the burners? Or because it's pretty self vents in that room too, right? The hood.
We didn't right away. Actually, we didn't at all because once we turned the hood, the hood fan was off, right? Because the kitchen was closed. So once you turn the hood fan on, it actually vented really quick. So. We never did bring in our detector. Yeah, there was no lightheadedness or there was nothing like that. We just went in. I think that room was probably porous enough that it probably let enough air out.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to our scenario night, seeing how much the battle fodder seeped out of the walls, that place is very porous. definitely would have been something to be concerned about. But once we had some doors open and got that hood fan going, it dropped down and there was a lot of fresh air that was moving in there.
On a side note on the battle flogger, we discovered might be not the best thing to use in a public setting because we thought it was great when we did the scenario. We packed up all our shit, left. while we were in this, at this fire scene, well, not fire, but while we were at the scene, the guy running the arena, he's like, oh, by the way, the ladies that run this concession stand were not very pleased with you guys the other day, because after your little scenario there, the fog stuff that we use, it settled on all the merchandise, and it took them like hours to clean everything. Because, and I didn't even think about it. Yeah, like a regular smoke machine, like a Halloween smoke machine. You don't really get that because it's not enough smoke to do anything. But this thing is pumping out like basically a glucose. So it's like, I guess that settled on everything. So they had to wipe it up. So kind of the running joke was, oh, so they cranked the heat up and made us come out at midnight as a punishment to wrecking their day the other day. So. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, if you're going to use a battle fogger, maybe don't use it in a setting like that, that where there's like food products and things.
Yeah, I can imagine they were probably thrilled scrubbing all the chocolate bars in pots and pans. Yeah, you know, it's funny you're saying that, Scott. Like, basically, I don't know why. It seems like it's here. Like, we get it a little bit in our department, but not as much. But in this town, every time you do a good practice scenario, sure as shit, something's going to happen. And it's almost textbook the same. Some similarities. But like that MVA we talked about a couple weeks back, same thing. You guys did a scenario. And yeah, textbook, down to Steve Bankman with extrication, entrapment. It's weird, man. It's Aries cursed.
And it's funny too, like some of them are so spot on. Like we talked about the over embankment one, and there was so many similarities. We had one where we took a photo of a minivan on its side that we had a roof flap to with a patient in it. And like 3 days later was a minivan on its side that we had to do a roof flap. Like it was to the photo exactly the same.
And I think that was when we first noticed that effect, because we're like, this was the scenario we did. And this was probably about 6, 7 years ago when this happened. And ever since then, we've noticed these similarities happening.
Yeah. Anyways, so we wanted to talk about some of the health benefits of, you know, sauna and cold plunges. It seems to be a thing now. So ironically, one of our friends has a spa here in town. So she had a sauna she brought in and doing this cold plunge sauna treatment. So asked us to come over and check it out and try it out, which we did. And, you know, the first time I heard about it, I was like, yes, sounds great. I don't know if I'm going to be jumping in that water or not. We'll see. Not 100% sold on it. But, you know, you talk about the benefits of what it does for you. And just even just finding that kind of zen moment and peacefulness to kind of slow everything down and just be in that moment. As far as like mental health for first responders, it's huge. And I think it's very important. I mean, it's a really cool health benefit, which we'll talk about as well. But I think especially being a first responder, taking that extra step, taking care of yourself like that, I found it amazing. I felt great after we did it a few times. I definitely want to keep doing it and going forward and trying to do more of that. Might even get a little cold plunge tub for at home, because I know a lot of my friends do as well. They start the day with it, just with the cold plunge. But yeah, I don't. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Oh, the sauna was great. No, the cold plunge definitely. You know, it was kind of that dreaded thing. Like we're sitting in the sauna, watching the timer tick down, and I'm like, ugh, this sucks. But the combination, and it's like there's a bunch of different ones, but the kind of the common one is at 2 to 3 minutes, and then you go back in sauna for 15, then 2 to 3 minutes of cold plunge, then sauna, and then, or so you end with sauna, I think. So there's varying ones. I was hearing about it on Rogan, and on, there's a Dr. Huberman comes on, he talks about it a lot. There's all these different people on, about the brown fats and the heat stress hormones and the cold stress hormones and this and that, and how it like increases your cardiovascular and I don't think the sauna alone does it. It's a combination of the two. And I don't know, maybe the cold plunge alone does it, but I don't know. It's definitely the combination of that heat and cold that kind of body stressors. It's supposed to be very good for you.
Yeah, so I'll actually read, because I can't remember all of it, but I'll read off some of the detoxifying aspects of it. So basically, it's you know, it's going to help elevate your heart rate, your adrenaline, and then the release of all the endorphins. And it's been very proven to actually reduce pain and lighten the mood, if you will, like I talked about, that de-stressing, right? So hot and cold plunging techniques, it's a way of triggering your lymphatic.
Talk to you in a minute.
I know. your lymphatic circulation. And it's going to allow, like Scott was saying, with all your fats and brown fats and just...
with all your fats.
All your fats. In all your fatty spots.
And the three of us have all the fats. Not all the fats, but some of them.
Yeah. Fucking Liebel. So, our friend goes to Ash the other day. He goes, "What, was Oliver flooding the other night?" I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" I saw a picture of you and Todd in the cold plunge. You fucking asshole.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of fat asses in these two horse troughs. I'm like, Jesus, man.
Anyways, yeah. But, yeah, it allows the body to help eliminate, you know, all that flushing process, detoxifying all the effects on the body. And they're saying the sauna is definitely noted to decrease muscle aches and soreness. And then the cold is going to really help those joint ailments as well. Good for your skin, increase that blood flow circulation, good for skin health. And yeah, it's just back to that kind of that slowing things down. Like I found for me, getting in that water, the very first time I did the plunge, it was a struggle. I think I barely made 3 minutes and I was fighting it. I was like almost hyperventilating when you first get in because you're breathing so rapidly and it was hard to get in that moment and slow things down. But the second time I did it, I went for quite a while and I just really focused. I kind of told myself, just got in your head and just find that little zen, breathe through it. And then it was quite nice feeling. And I felt the best once you pop out and you just get that flush. You know, I felt totally wide awake. Standing outside there afterwards, but it was fantastic. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't go as far as saying I felt that great in it. obviously, the sauna was amazing. Like just that heat and that steam. You know, getting into the cold plunge the first go around, it was quite the shock. Like I felt like I knew what I was doing. It's so goddamn cold. And I was very, very much the same. Like, it was a challenge to kind of control that breathing the first time in. You don't really know what to expect. And I was, I think, maybe the first time, like, a minute or two. But by the second go-around, we were all going well over the 3 minutes. And it was really good to get to that point where you're just, you get yourself in, you submerge yourself down, and you get into just that deeper, calmer breathing. It's that mind over matter, and you kind of tune out all of, like, how shitty this is, and you just breathe through it. I think just, A, being a firefighter, like, we get that in our mind through trying to control our breathing when we're in these stressful environments, we're on BA, so we can kind of fall back to that. And I just, like, really blocked everything else out. The release when you get out of the plunge, I think, like Todd was just saying, was amazing. So the moment that you're out, I mean, we're still out there in just over freezing conditions. Yeah. And you already feel, like, 1,000 times better. And, like, it's kind of everything that you want to do to run back into the sauna. But taking those extra, like, minute or two or three outside of the plunge and just, like, kind of releasing everything that just happened and then going back into the sauna, it's quite a, like, relaxing / enlightening experience. And I think going with, like, the group of us was a neat experience because, like, we're all idiots together. But, like, you've gone just with the spouse, right? Yeah, so I think that would be really cool. going as a smaller group would be cool. Going as a group of us was really awesome. Like, we would definitely go again. I know my wife went back with our daughter. She really wanted to do it. And, like, they were pushing themselves in the cold, which we've actually read. If you go too far, I mean, obviously, if you go too far, you die. But if you push it, you know, beyond that 3, 4, 5 minutes, you can actually start to decrease.
It's like, yeah, the benefits.
Yourself, yeah. Yeah, right? So you're not really getting the best of the best out of it. But I would fully recommend it. I think it's an amazing experience. And it's an experience as well. Like, you can do a cold plunge, you can have a sauna, but like at Athena's where we were, like, it's a full experience. You can get these things elsewhere. But the way that they have it set up there was awesome. They had the sauna, they had outside where the cold plunge was. So they had two of them set up. There was music available. They had an outside propane campfire going, a nice seating area, places to store everything. Like, it was a nice setup. You know, lights were strong. It was like dimly lit, definitely very like mood striking. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I think that goes back to, like you said there, Ash, like going somewhere else and doing it. It's all part of that experience. And, you know, it just kind of, for me, it kind of checks that box for kind of just de-stressing and mental health as well. It was just a very chill, nice environment, right? Like, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I feel it's important, especially this time of year, like talking about, you know, just the stresses of life, and then the everyday stress we have as first responders always have as well. You know, it's a good reminder to take that moment and find a way to try something new, try something to help you de-stress. And I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah. I found myself afterwards, like, the wife always gets mad at me, 'cause I can generally, like, as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm out. Right. And when we left, I don't want to say I was jacked. Like, I wasn't wide awake, like where I wanted to go run a marathon, but I was really alert. Like, I wasn't in the mood to go home and go to bed because it was late. Like, I think by the time that we got home and wrapped up, we're pushing 9:30 quarter then. So like, that's bedtime for old people, right? Yeah, I was definitely like pretty alert. I was happy to just kind of relax and keep that vibe going. But, I could see if you did something like that to start the day, like, you would be alert, you'd be motivated. I think it'd be really cool to try something like that like earlier on in the day and see what that kind of effect builds on throughout the day as well. Because like, my brain was functioning. I was thinking about a million things that I could do if it wasn't 10 o'clock at night. And I was thinking about bed, but yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what that kind of effect at like eight in the morning before you get your day kicked off.
Yeah, again, you know, just, yeah, back to that, just finding that time to try something new and getting out and doing it. And actually, I just, on that moment, wanted to read something here, but just as a reminder to everybody. So here in BC, the Fire Chiefs Association of BC, as well, we talk about just additional holiday stressors and stuff. So the Fire Chiefs Association here in British Columbia, they have trained peer support group as well. So for any specific like chief officers and stuff, like, if you don't have an avenue or you're not sure of how to reach out and get some help, that's another option for us here in British Columbia as well, which is fantastic as well. Yeah, just sharing the post there on the Facebook. But yeah, just this time of the year, holidays, it's very stressful. I know emergency responders, we end up doing a lot more traumatic calls, it seems, a lot more deaths, there's a lot more suicides. Yeah, there's mental health. So make that an important step in your life to reach out if you need it.
Yeah. I think this is the last episode before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so on that, yeah, so coming up to holidays here, so next week we're probably not going to be able to get one out because it's Christmas is right through the weekend when we normally do it and things get a little crazy. So we'll try and get one out afterwards. If we do find the time, maybe we'll try and squeak a short one out there and get something out to you guys. Or if we do something really cool, we'll try and bring it up and talk about it. But any more guys? Or
and after that, I'll be in doing podcasting from a hotel for a month as I'm away. So, but maybe I'll take some stuff with me to do the podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, another year in the bank, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy looking back. You know, we have another year down. Some pretty cool things. I mean, maybe that's something that when we do get back together, we can do an actual year in review of podcasts and all of the crazy things that we got up to this year. We had some pretty cool guests, talked about some pretty cool things. So maybe that's something that we can look forward to, like an annual review, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, there's a lot of shit happened this year. Call wise and just change wise, and just in both departments and just the way the emergency service has been going this year. So yeah, we'll try and get down to do a year in review. But anyways, going forward, so yeah, we want to wish everybody happy holidays and be safe, and have fun, find time for your family and friends, and then your departments. I know a lot of Christmas parties. We just came off of our Christmas social as well this past week. So we had all the kids in and got gifts, and a nice little time to get together and drink some wine with some of our peers in the fire hall. And then actually had Christmas truck, you guys. So why don't we talk about the annual Christmas truck that you guys have been doing?
Yeah, I think we actually had Santa Claus come through the fire hall here the other day as well. Just chat about that super, super quick. Pretty funny story from one of our lifetime members' grandson was here. Logan, man, what a cool, cool little kid he is. I guess he's going to his parents. He's like, so I kind of got to figure it out, guys. So when you go to the mall, like, that's a Saint Nick. Like, that's just like one of Santa's helpers. But the Santa that comes to the fire hall, like, that's the real deal. And, like, this kid, like his dad's not a firefighter, like, his grandpa was, 30 years ago? Like, he's been a lifer and been gone for that many years now, right? But they still come every year. All of his, like, older sisters and whatnot came up. So he was really pumped for it. Knowing that the real Santa makes a quick early stop here, to make sure that all the boys and girls get a special fire hall gift, was a really cool touch. Scott made his traditional mac and cheese, so thanks for that. That always goes over really well. So we've been doing these Santa truck parades the week before Christmas for a long time. Rob actually put up a really cool post about it, kind of going back and telling the history of it and how it all started. I think he was a bit more political when he posted it, not kind of the real story, which when you got to think back 30 years ago, what a group of firefighters would be doing, celebrating the festivities of Christmas down Main Street. You can probably picture a bit of a different story. And like that many years ago as well.
I was going to say it wasn't even 30 years ago.
Yeah, and, like, back then, like, even when Chief Bob was saying about it, he's like, yeah, like, we could go down Main Street and, like, get out, stop, go inside businesses. Like, they would go inside the pub and, like, wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and there'd be zero traffic.
Dude, that was not 30 years ago. That was, like, 10 years ago. Because I remember us doing that. Running in the Santa Claus and hugging all the people that are drinking. Yeah,
so even going back 10, 15 years ago, that was, you know, normal. Like, you could never do that now. But we do go out. We do it for a week prior to Christmas. We decorate up the old Chev. We just posted up a couple quick reels of that already. And we kind of pick a neighborhood every night. We try to get through all of our proper and some of our larger outreaching areas of town here. And yeah, we just drive around. We hand out candy canes. Just kind of spreading that Christmas cheer.
It's a little bit of a pre-plan, too. I was doing the other night because I got the opportunity to drive the new engine, and the place we went to the first night, even Ash was like, oh, it's a little tight in that one place. I'm like, all right. And I'm not known for my driving because I don't drive the truck. I'm trying to get into it now that I'm getting a little older, getting away from the holding on nozzle. But it was a little dicey in there for a bit. Yeah, we're scraping the tires on the sides because it was definitely I wouldn't say that's a well laid out. The one area is well laid out, but the one trailer park is it's kind of cool. Like if you were not driving a fire truck in there, it's kind of like almost like fairy tale ish. Well, if your fairy tale is a trailer park, but it's kind of like, you know, it's got these kind of weird roads that are like windy. They're not really designed for they're not really wide. And there's like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm expecting this to happen. Oh no, it goes around a tree. Oh, there's a tree in the way. Yeah, we'll just build the road around the tree. So yeah, it was definitely a little dicey.
Yeah, it's knowing what I had behind me. So I'm on duty this week. So I'm kind of like Santa's pilot car. So I'm leading this train of like myself and then our old 54 Chev 54 engine. And then we have our bush truck towing a trailer that's decked out, and then our new engine, and then our oldest engine, like our still frontline oldest engine. So, like, there's a lot of people coming behind me, and I'm in a Chevy pickup truck, so it's easy for me, but there's not a lot of extra space for me. So I'm trying to pilot these guys through here, and I'll, like, rip ahead and make sure that the you know, this is good. We're going to be able to make it through. There's low-hanging branches. There's these massive boulders that they use to, like, stop people from going off the path. The path is only a couple feet wider than a regular-sized pickup truck, period. So, like, we're trying to navigate through here. There's no maps that really tell exactly the way to go. They sort of lay it out for you, but, you know, we're not out there often. You know the way, but you don't remember every foot of it, right? And at one point I was telling these guys, like, I've got all these guys behind me and I know there was one kind of back way that you could get to, but I wasn't sure if it made itself through or not. So we got down there and I'm like, stop, stop, stop. Like it's a dead end and we're getting everybody, you know, positioned and heading back out. And I'm like, this place is giving me bloody anxiety because I mean, it's so tight. And while you're driving through, like Scott just said, like now I'm thinking as I'm driving, like, man, if we and when we get a real event in here, it's going to be a mess. Like trying to get apparatus in there. There's, I mean, the canopy of all those like old growth trees is so dense, and any sort of fire event is going to turn into something. Like it's not, you know, the majority of them are mobile homes, so they don't exactly burn slow. And if it gets up into the canopy, it's going to be some pretty big trouble. So like you're driving through there and that's on your mind too while you're like smiling, waving at all the passersby.
Also, you know, I'm thinking about like evacuations and you know, like are people gonna probably get in their cars and try to drive out or drive it in? They're not gonna be walking out, which they should be doing, because inevitably people are gonna jump in their car and take off, and then we're kind of trying to get in with an engine that you can barely get in with an engine, so these cars are going to be in the way, and then more cars are going to come out, and it's just going to be... we had talked before, just now that we got a deck gun, because before we were talking, just hooking up 2.5 to the hydrant and just launching water, because we could probably almost launch water a good halfway through that whole place. Mm-hmm. Like, we could make it rain up the humidity level just by running hydrant water in a massive stream. Now that we have the monitor, even be easier negotiate around some of those big trees, but that would be my go-to right away, just kind of surround and drown the whole facility and just hopefully get the meter rate level up enough to kind of chill the fire out while people evacuate and then move in and knock it down. I don't know, there's not really much else we can do.
Yeah, that's been one area which it's been a hot topic for conversation for many years, right? If we've ever had a fire, whether it's a wildland fire that comes in, which we're damn near close, and then just a good working structure fire. Like if that thing's fully involved, like you said, Ash, there's like massive, massive pine trees, old growth, low branches. It's going to be a nightmare. So knock on wood, we haven't had that event there, but we did have that huge windstorm a number of years back, which blew down all sorts of trees on top of cars, on top of tents. Some people passed away. It was chaos. And trying to evacuate and then get in to actually do some of the rescues was a nightmare, because like you're saying, it's so tight. So yeah, I talk about pre-plan. That's a pretty sketchy area. Like you said, that's that wave. It's like, hey, Merry Christmas. And holy shit, this is going to suck if it goes off. But
yeah, and then tonight we were back in a regular neighborhood. Went over really well. We've been hovering around 5 or 6 degrees. We got a little bit of rain right at the tail end of it, but yeah, amazing. So we'll continue to do this all the way through Saturday, you know, leading up until Christmas Eve. Yeah, really awesome tradition. We get, I'd say, the majority of the department makes multiple appearances, which is really cool. You know, we always say, come on practice night. That's everybody. And we bring our family, our kids. We bring, like, friends of the family. It's pretty much open to anybody that has a tie to the department. And, yeah, I mean, town loves it. We get posts on Facebook every day leading up to it. And when we post our map of, you know, what we're going to do tonight, like, every day we'll post tomorrow's map as well. So everybody knows. Like, people drive to that neighborhood so they can see it again. So it's a really cool thing that the town really buys into. And, I mean, it's definitely quite a commitment. The chief goes out every night, and you know, most of us are there as often as possible. Being the guy on duty, like I'm committed, I guess. So I'll be out all the way until Thursday, and then we'll see it by Friday, Saturday. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, people are people say, "Oh, it's Christmas doesn't start until they see the Christmas truck." So we're a little bit like Hans Gruber falling off a building, I guess, and Die Hard. Christmas not starting until he hits the pavement. So.
Yeah, I know you're right. Like, everybody looks forward to it so much, right? Like, there's always people commenting about yeah, like, hey, when's it coming through our neighborhood? Because they all get together and set a little propane fire pit as these guys. I'm trying to keep it together because these two fucking idiots are losing their minds over Hans Gruber splatting on the fucking pavement. Jesus. Anyways. Yeah. Got a hammy. Apparently, I need more bananas.
Damn it.
Anyways, we're going to wrap. Somebody else take it.
Oh, man, what a disaster. All right. Todd's got a hammy problem. We're back.
Modus. Actually, on that note about Modus, Mr. Ray Schwartz sent us a message that he's become chief recently in a small department. This is about 2,000 people. But he's kind of talking, I'm not going to read his whole thing here, but he's talking about it, and he's like, but I'm getting off topic, Modus. Yeah, shout out to Ray, the new chief of, he doesn't mention the department, but yeah, shout out to him. I guess, while Todd's sorting himself out there, we'll go into shout outs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll grab Modus. Claim to fame is going to be the Snagger tool. They got tons of other pieces of kit. Force entry gear, soft entry, lots of textiles now. We use one of their bags for our hydrant kit. Really, really cool stuff. They got their X-Glove line up there. I've got the radio strap that we've been demoing and giving some pointers of some small changes to it, but I think that'll probably be coming down the line as well. So, yeah, check them out online. If you like what you see, discount code DTFF5 gives you 5% off your order.
And they got the X-Gloves on sale right now with a vehicle kit, if you order them as well, which is pretty sweet. It's a really good deal.
Stop the bleed. Three methods of bleeding control are direct pressure, wound packing, and tourniquet application. If you use a tourniquet, use a good one. To go to stopthebleed.org, .com, .ca, .oz. There's all sorts of ways to learn how to take the course, to teach it to others. It's important.
I got a tourniquet from work. We have ones that come in our, you know,
first aid kit.
I was going to bring it in. Like, this is what they're giving us. I mean, it's looking pretty Chinese, but that's not what I keep on my person. But
is it a windlass tourniquet? Hmm? That's usually what the packaging says.
Yeah, winless.
That's the same one they tried to give us, and we said we give back and said get us caps because literally they went with whatever the like those like WorkSafe, which is like OSHA in the States. Like, yeah, it has to be a winless tourniquet. So they went to this company and just said, we need a winless tourniquet. So on the packaging, it says winless tourniquet. It's like, cool. That's not actually that's not a brand. It's just a thing.
What else do we got? We got Wolf Tree Coffee.
Yeah. Wolf Tree Coffee. I'm back a little bit. Legs pulsating, but Wolf Tree Coffee, yeah. Awesome coffee company here in Oliver. We are definitely partial to them and our brand we made with them with the initial attack. Fabulous coffee. You can find them online. There you go. Ship locally and deliver locally, but they'll ship anywhere as well. So go online, check them out. And also from our initial attack blend, $2 of every 20 pound bag, right? Goes on our house. So, yeah, fantastic. Give them a try. Check them out online. Give them an order. Tanner Olson. Scott.
Tanner, country music out of Nashville, I guess. That's where they seem to be. But originally out of the West Coast of Canada. They are still doing new music, doing tour dates down in the States, it looks like. Because all the places I don't recognize that they're going to. Probably in the spring and summer, they'll come back up here and do some like fairs and things like that. So check them out. And if they're down in the States somewhere and you're down there, check them out down there. So.
Absolutely. Then, of course, you have us. So you can find us on all your listening platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. our shirts as well. Still, so go on our Facebook site. You can find our shirts under DTFF Store. So, yeah, we'd love to get that the Moose shirt out to you. Any more for any more? Ash.
No.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
All right. Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas. Have safe holidays. And we will see you in the new year. Stay safe. Stay DTFS. Don't get a hamstring. Eat a banana.